Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, should LeBron James shut it down for the rest of the season? Plus, new Cardinals linebacker Terrell Suggs joins the show to discuss his departure from the Ravens, his future in Arizona, and plenty more. And why is Odell Beckham Jr. taking a break from social media? We'll see how long that lasts. Skip Shannon, let's get to it. Thing. I want to know what Skip now has to say about LeBron, because he sat out last night's loss to the Bucks, but that doesn't mean he'll sit out the rest of the season. Luke Walton shut that notion down yesterday, saying, quote, "We're a much better team when he's on the floor." So I'm looking forward
that was a shocking statement.
Getting back out there. Yeah, they're definitely better with him out there. But the Lakers' playoff hopes are basically done, since they're 10 and a half games out of a playoff spot with only 11 games to go.
Impossible.
It's basically done, not officially done. Shannon, should LeBron just shut it down?
No. He should not shut it down. Because here, see, LeBron is in a very, very tough situation. If he shuts it down, now what do they say? See, he quit on his team. He don't even want to be a part of this, because they already pick apart everything he does. If he doesn't sit on in Kyle Kuzma's lap,
who's they?
Well, Skip Bayless. Just say it.
Acknowledge it. I'm the only one.
No, Skip Bayless and Clyde Frazier. Unless he's sitting in one of his teammates' lap or they're sitting in his lap, he doesn't care. Now LeBron James, LeBron doesn't care. He got his own bottle of Gatorade. Like, if you don't take the bottle right out of JaVale McGee's hand and turn it up to your mouth, he's not a team player. The thing is, if he sits, because remember, a couple of years ago, LeBron was resting, and it's like, there's some kids that parents paid a lot of money, and LeBron is resting, led by Skip Bayless, and then Michael Jordan played 10 straight years, played all 82 games.
Is that right?
Now,
that was a big deal while that was happening.
Yes, and now Skip Bayless, what's he playing for? He has nothing accomplished. You know why he's playing, Jenny? This is why LeBron James is playing. He wants to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, because the only way he can be, you know, have the apologist led by LeSean Sharp.
He has the stats.
Yeah. Now, he has a better argument. He's the all-time leading scorer, and yada, yada.
True?
I know what you're trying to
do. You're spouting wisdom now.
Because I know you. Skip, the Lakers still have LeBron James on a minute restriction. And what that does, with the exception of the Knicks game, is that even when they go on this run, he gets to, say, 8-minute mark, because basically he's playing 32 minutes. He played 8 minutes in the first and 8 in the second and 8 in the third and 8 in the fourth. And so even if they get on a nice run, he reached that plateau, they snatch him up out of the game. But I don't really – I mean, because look at it. You got Caruso and you got Jonathan Williams. You got G League players that's playing more minutes than LeBron James. But
Sunday in New York they didn't.
But this is what makes him great. He's like, you know what? It didn't turn out how we wanted. The ship's going down. But I'm El Capitan.
He's not gonna jump ship.
No, he couldn't sleep. He could not sleep at night knowing that he could have been there to maybe get a few life preservers out.
Really?
To help somebody. So no, he's not sitting out. And yes, we're gonna pass Kareem, whether you like it or not.
Boy, you got a long ways to
go. That's okay, we got plenty of time. And he ain't going nowhere.
You just left a game on the table last night.
That's okay. We got plenty
more. You could have scored your 27. That would have been a big 27 toward Kareem.
But Skip, so what? It's going to take us the same amount of time it took Kareem. It took Kareem 20 years to get to 38,000. It's going to take us. Where are we going? That's what we love to do. We love to play basketball. Yeah, we got all these other endeavors. I had my Buzz Lightyears on today, LeBron James. But that's Toy Story. That's not what's the one he doing, the reboot of Michael Jordan?
Space Jam.
That's not Space Jam, but I'm just saying. Yes, I know he has a lot of fire, you know, a lot of prods in the fire. But
he's busy.
But Skip, his number one priority is basketball. Everything originates from that.
But yet, if he left New York on Sunday night and he saw, I don't have to play all the way until, what is it, Friday?
Friday.
So he could have 5 days in L.A., Brentwood.
He with his team.
Go over the scripts for Space Jam.
You know what? What he with his team?
Huh? I don't know.
Did you see him on the sideline? I ain't watched.
I couldn't. You know what? I tried to watch one quarter of it, and I swear to you, I just said, I can't watch this anymore.
No Giannis or LeBron?
I switched both games over to whatever the other two, Golden State and
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yes.
But there's another game I was watching. I can't
Houston,
remember.
Atlanta?
Yeah, Houston, Atlanta. Those are the two I put on.
At that point, you compared
So here's my issue, and this just wears me out about your man, LeBron James. Which side of mouth are you speaking out of now? I just need to know what the truth is.
What is it?
Do you have a groin issue ongoing or not? Because he said
it's sore.
The same groin is sore, according to LeBron.
Yes.
Okay, if that's true, then you should shut it down
rest
of the year.
No, it's sore.
Okay, well, you shouldn't even tempt fate.
That's why we got five days off. It'll be right.
Oh, it'll be right?
Yep.
And it's still plaguing him? After the tweet the next day, after the MRI,
Skip,
when he said, wait, dodged a bullet, hashtag back in no time, dodged a bullet with praying hands.
Like, the tweet never will
thank
die.
Thank you, Skip. God, thank you, God. Dodged a bullet. Dodged a bullet? I thought he'd be back in, a game?
No, I'm not going to let you do this.
I didn't do it. He did it.
You know there are varying degrees of injuries to a groin.
Okay, the truth is, I don't know how hurt he is because you don't know. No. Jenny doesn't know. Nobody knows.
I'm going to take
only that guy knows.
I'm going to take him. Does he look like a faker to you?
Okay, well, yeah, sometimes because he and his team are notorious for planting excuses when he needs them the most. And it just drives me nuts because he's better than that.
There's no excuse, Skip. There's no excuse. They were injured, but they didn't make the playoffs.
After he just flamed out and melted down against Boston in that last playoff series the first time around in Cleveland, and his advisors, his inner circle, they planted the story to me, and I don't know, maybe it was true, that he had to be sedated before games 4, 5, and 6. It looked like he played sedated to me because he was just like sleepwalking. Well, that was, and I'm like, sedated because of a locker room issue? Sedated before a basketball game? I'm supposed to swallow that? And then how about last year? How about in the finals? What happens? He melts down at the end of game one.
No, George Hill melted down.
Okay,
J.R. Smith melted down.
Right, whatever. LeBron didn't take the last shot. He dished it to George Hill. Whatever happened, then you're tied going to overtime. You got them on the ropes. You got them on their heels. And he pouted and sat away from the team on the bench. And then he wouldn't shoot the first 2.5 minutes of overtime. They fell behind by 7 points. Ball game, sweep. And then what did he do? How did he attend the post-game four media session? He put on a soft cast on his right hand.
He didn't put it on. The doctors put it on.
Oh, the doctors put a soft cast on, which we had not seen the whole series. But the story was planted with the apologists and the media, the LeBron-protecting media. Oh, he was so upset after game one that he smashed his hand on the whiteboard in the locker room and broke his hand, according to team insiders. Yep. Rich
Skip.
Paul, Maverick, I don't know.
J.R. Skip, you know that J.R. still believes that he and LeBron are teammates in Cleveland?
Mm.
That's J.R. That's his teammate.
Uh-oh.
J.R. Smith still believes that he and LeBron are teammates in Cleveland.
Okay, so what am I supposed to think this time? Because LeBron had his worst moment of this season in the fourth quarter at Madison Square Garden. He missed the most fourth quarter shots he's ever missed in a regular season game, 11 in the fourth quarter.
Right.
11, and then on the go-ahead shot, the potential game winner, he gets blocked full-handed. He gets jump ball blocked by Mario Hezonja. And the next thing I hear is he has a sore groin and he can't play. Hence, plant excuse with apologists. He couldn't jump. He had a sore groin.
No, Skip.
Okay, if he didn't shut it down.
No,
shut it down.
Skip, there's no
Did he look limited to you in the fourth quarter? Skip. He didn't look limited. Did you see one play in New York on Sunday morning here, obviously Sunday afternoon? Did you see one play in New York in which LeBron looked like he had a pulled groin?
Skip.
I didn't see one.
The thing is,
did he limp? Did he drag his leg? Nope.
Am I shocked that he missed 11 shots? I'm probably more shocked that I can't recall a game in which he took that many shots in one quarter.
Fair enough.
Let alone just miss. I'm talking about just shots in period.
15,
forget. Yeah,
right?
He took 15, missed 11 of those.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, let's not overreact, okay?
Well, which is it? I don't know. Seriously, if the groin's flared again,
I don't know.
But see, it's easy. You know what, Skip?
But now you can say, well, he had the pull.
You know what? This tells me a lot about LeBron because he has an out, Jenny. He has the groin injury. Yeah. 11 games going to go. They're not going anywhere. He can shut it down. No questions, no harm, no foul. But he says, you know what?
I need Kareem. Well, why wouldn't he say
you
that?
See what you do?
I'm not condemning
you.
Not criticizing. He needs Kareem. But go for Kareem.
No.
Chase him.
You told me that he came to be Michael B. Jordan. Now he won't sit down. Now you want him to sit down. Which is it?
Michael B. Jordan still works in the postseason. And plus, you got all kinds of off days in the season. You see him in Beverly Hills walking. You stalk him, right?
No. LeBron is here for one reason.
To pass Kobe. Pass Kobe and then Kareem. Well, Michael, Kobe, and Kareem.
Well,
right?
First of all, those are no-brainers.
Yeah.
Kobe's...
Yeah. Be careful.
Yeah.
If you offend Kobe, you're going to bring down hell on your man.
What? Offend Kobe how? Mm-hmm. Kobe played 20 years, got over 33,000 points. LeBron's going to pass him in year 17. Mm-hmm. That ain't no offending no Kobe. Kobe was great. Mm-hmm. I got a pair of Kobe shoes. Mm-hmm. I might bring them out tomorrow.
Really?
No. They sacred.
LeBron would not like that.
Man, look here, man. I wear whatever kind of shoe I want. I wear LeBron shoe. I wear Kobe shoe. I loved him, Jordans.
Yeah, as soon as Rich Paul would see it on TV, he'd say, okay, he's off the list.
You know, nah. You know, Skip, I don't know why you think that. Why you think that I can't, like, I'm some LeBron James apologist or president of the fan
team. It's okay.
I ain't on no team.
It's a secret club, I think.
Ain't no secret club.
You got a future. You got movie roles in your future.
No.
Yeah.
Are you going to get a part in Space Jam?
No. The thing is, what I won't let happen is you come out here and spill bull jive on LeBron.
Asking questions.
You would have
groin or no groin?
Skip. It's sore. Huh? I mean, sometimes my vocal cords, I have to drink lemon and hot water.
Do you really?
Yeah, to come out here, I said, but I'm gonna show up.
Yep. I was thinking you were drinking something else. But
why not? Not anymore. Mm-hmm. No, too good.
I had to get that up, Skip.
Yeah. I had to give that up.
Health choices.
But next year, I'll start the game.
Next year. No mercy.
Hey guys, Jenny Taft here. If you're looking to add some excitement to the tournament games, make BetDSI your tournament betting partners. BetDSI has been paying winners for 20 years and is top rated on betting review sites. BetDSI has a very user-friendly interface, mobile site, and has the fastest payouts in the industry. Simply play, win, get paid. BetDSI offers betting options for everything. Bet on March Madness, NBA, NHL, and all other major sports, politics, reality TV, virtually everything. Try live betting at BetDSI, where you can bet on games from start to finish, every play and every minute until the end. New members get 100% bonus match using promo code UNDISPUTED. Once again, go to BetDSI.com and use promo code UNDISPUTED and get this limited time 100% bonus offer to make some extra cash betting the madness this March and get one free $1 million contest entry just for signing up with promo code UNDISPUTED. It's only a game until you bet it at BetDSI. No
mercy. Well, Giannis Antetokounmpo did not have a dream matchup against LeBron last night since both stars set out, but that doesn't mean they aren't going to be compared to each other. LeBron is arguably the face of the league, but Giannis said yesterday that he doesn't want to be the face of the league if he can't be himself, if people feel he's not American enough. He also added that he never expected to be compared to LeBron in any way. Giannis said, quote, I didn't expect myself to be getting that close and tight with LeBron James because he's effing LeBron. Coming into this league, I never saw myself as one of the best players in the league and being that LeBron type of player. That's the truth. I could say yes, I always thought I could be like LeBron James or better or whatever, but that's not the truth. We're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Good to have you with us, but Shannon, I'll start with you. What do these quotes from Giannis tell you?
Well, they tell me, Skip. You know what?
He's ready.
I can't wait to hear this.
I've been waiting for this for very long. What I've learned in my years of television is that when you speak for an extended period of time and the tone of your voice starts to raise, they will say you're going on a rant, even though you're not ranting. So I'm going to be as calm as I possibly can. What this tells me about Giannis is that from the very first moment he got into the league until now, he's always viewed LeBron James as the best player. You heard what he said. He didn't mention anybody else. Now, LeBron James is not the only player that's in the NBA. He's not the only player that's in the NBA when he got in. But he said, to see myself as LeBron and to be compared to a LeBron James type? He said, I could have told you I could have been a LeBron type.
I thought this was a Giannis type.
He's using it to say LeBron's the GOAT.
This is essentially what you're doing.
This poor
kid.
Listen to what I'm saying.
He comes from Greece and he gets hijacked by you. Let me turn it into a LeBron.
No, I'm saying is that how he views it. Now, this is all, if he finished with these numbers, 27, 12, and 6. If he finished with numbers like that, this will only be the second time in NBA history a player has had 27, 12, and 6. The other, Oscar Robertson, in the year he averaged a triple-double. He's doing it on 58% shooting.
So?
The thing that makes him so unique is that three steps past half court, he's at the rim dunking.
Right.
He shot 40% from the three-point line in February, so that's getting better. For the longest time, people treated him like they treat LeBron. We're going to build a wall. We're not letting you get to the paint. If you want to hit the three, you want to hit the outside shot, okay, so be it. Now he's making them, he's starting to hit that little out, that little mid-range shot. If he ever get proficient, don't let him shoot 35%. Don't let him shoot 38% from the three. It's over.
He's developing it, too.
Because you can't, with that Euro step and the amount of ground he can cover, and he's improved his free throw percent shooting. Skip, this dude is he's special, but it just goes to show you in his mind what how he views LeBron as the GOAT.
He didn't say he was the GOAT.
I'm gonna take it a step further. Look, we forget this because last year LeBron was still the best player in the world.
Right.
This year, even though their team's not well, he averaged 27, 8, and 8. He's still a great player. That makes us forget Giannis and LeBron are really not contemporaries.
No.
Giannis is 10 years younger than LeBron. Like
24.
When LeBron first led the Cavs to the finals in 07 and arguably became the best player in the world, Giannis was 12. So he was not growing up thinking, I'm going to compete against LeBron. It's like when I grew up with Isaiah Thomas, the legend.
Right? He didn't see the Spurs sweep LeBron.
Man, go ahead.
He was just paying attention to this wonderkind, this 22-year-old kid leading this team to the finals over the Bad Boys in Detroit, the second Bad Boys.
Yeah.
So my point is, he grew up thinking, like, he's my idol.
Right.
You know, I'm not thinking about competing against him or being as good as him. He's, like, on another level. And then the second thing is, he's from Greece. I don't believe there's ever been another all-star player from Greece. Kostakoufis, who's not even from Greece, but he's Greek. Is he the best player other than Giannis from Greece? Remember in 2003, same draft as LeBron. Sophocles. Soren Knight, I don't even know how to say his last name.
Yeah.
He was Baby Shaq. Mm-hmm. He got drafted by the Clippers in the second round. Now, he was dominant in Greece. He was Baby Shaq.
Yeah.
So Giannis is growing up thinking, this dude's the man.
Right.
He gets to the NBA and he's nothing. He never even played a game in the NBA. He was nothing. Mm-hmm. And so Giannis, there's no way coming from Greece he ever thought, I'm going to be as good as LeBron James. I'm going to be the best player in the world. He's just thinking he probably just wants to make the NBA.
You know,
so that's what told me.
Before you go, Skip, you know who this reminds you of? Kobe and Jordan.
But Kobe, at least, I mean, Kobe.
But think about it.
Was
Kobe came in 96. Jordan got, that's 12 years different.
Yeah, in that regard, yes.
I mean, there's such a big.
So Kobe never can be. The only thing is LeBron is having such an extended career and prime.
Right.
That, like, Jordan didn't even play 16 years. So typically, historically, a guy like LeBron would pretty much be retired now.
Yeah.
Okay.
While Giannis is reaching, coming into his own.
But Kobe knew a whole lot more about Jordan than Giannis.
Yeah, I think
LeBron.
In that regard,
because
you just mean age-wise.
Right, right. But they're both, Jordan is American, Kobe's American, but Giannis is in Greece. So he's only seeing Clippers.
It makes the myth of LeBron even bigger.
Correct.
When you're in Greece.
Even bigger.
Right?
Bigger. Mythology. You know about mythology,
Speaking
right?
of mythology, yes, you just uttered a bunch. I don't know. I got this same story. Isn't this the same story?
What are you saying?
I got the same
about?
One.
Same quote.
So here's the quote I read. This is from Giannis, and this is the very story that you're referring
to. Yes.
LeBron was one of my role models. He's one of the guys I looked up to in the NBA.
Okay.
He's one of the best players in the league. He didn't even call him the best player in the league. So,
can we just point of clarification?
I don't know. Maybe I
just read.
Guys, I'm just taking the best quote.
That's it.
Okay.
Skip has
so
a
we put
read.
That to bed.
Okay.
So
you ain't put it to bed. It's wide awake.
Now we can go to the Giannis topic. The quote that got me is the reason I can't buy completely in as you have and you're about to be. And it's the quote, coming into the league, I never saw myself as one of the best players in the league and being that LeBron type of player. I don't think he still thinks that. Like, he still is like, do I really belong here? Do I fit? And then all the quotes about, am I American enough to be the face of the NBA in America? Well, it's hard. It's hard to break through as that guy. But trust me. There have been players who came along who said, I can, like Manu Ginobili, when he stepped on the NBA floor, he said, I can be the best player in this league. That's what he thought. Now, whether you think he ever even got close to that.
He didn't.
Okay.
Well, no, not the best.
Okay.
In the league.
But that was his mentality. He was fearless from the start. He was shattering the mold of the way Popovich coached. Popovich finally said, I had to back off and quit coaching him because he's going to try things every night I don't buy, I don't believe in, and about half of them really work. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they wind up in the seventh row, right? Okay. But he didn't care.
Right.
Giannis really cares about how he's perceived.
Right.
He's sensitive. He has a softer side to him. He has a playful side. And I need to see, and I know this is harsh, but I need to see a little more of that killer. If you're going to be that guy to take this league over, and he has the potential, he has the capability of it, I need to see more, I got this. I own this game, I own this league.
What he did against Ben Simmons on that dunk, and then called him a baby, you want to see more of that, and I do too.
I still do not believe that a foreigner can be the face of an NBA or the face of MLB, because we've seen it. Ichiro was a much better player than Derek Jeter. He wasn't the face of MLB.
Just a quick point of order, because I thought about this. I'm going back a little before you.
Okay.
But in the 60s, when I was a hardcore baseball fan, because it was really all there was to be a fan of.
Clemente.
Listen, Roberto Clemente was real close to being the face of baseball. I was in awe. If I had a chance, because we couldn't see all the games, if I saw Roberto Clemente Pirates game, I'm going to watch because he's going to light it up. He's going to make a play in right field or throw.
Was he bigger than Hank?
It was like this.
Because you still had Hank.
I got it.
Willie Mays.
I think a lot of African Americans who were really into baseball at that time kind of view him like he was black. Yeah. I mean, which he was an American black.
Right.
Got it.
Right.
Agreed.
Because my dad would always talk about him like that.
Juan Marichal in those days, as a pitcher, he was like a dominating force.
Yeah.
Where you're just, because he had that big kick wind up.
It's just, because here's the thing, Skip. Let's look at Dirk.
Okay.
Dirk's been great.
He is wildly popular.
But Dirk has never been the face of
Here's the thing. First of all, with baseball nowadays, there is the language barrier. Even though the guys may speak English, it's not that well.
Right.
The NBA players that are foreign tend to speak better English.
Right.
And here's, because I feel you on the international player, can they be the face of the league? And I actually said, I don't think Giannis last week probably has enough American swag. But in 5 years, and I don't want to discount Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Maybe Zion, we'll see what he becomes. Mm. Ben Simmons, whatever. But it's possible in 5 years, the three or four best players in the world could be international. Giannis,
Embiid.
Joel Embiid, Luka Doncic, and Nikola Jokic.
Wow.
Now, that's very possible.
Yeah.
Two of the first team All-NBA this year, either Jokic or Embiid at center, and Giannis are going to be international. Mm. Now, if I had to pick of those four, who could be the face of the league? Obviously, Embiid with his charisma and all that.
He has that.
And I'd say Luka would be second. Like, I could see Embiid and Luka being the faces of the league because Luka, a dominant white player who got – he got a little swag. And he got attitude and he's going at these brothers.
Yeah.
That – he's almost like a – I think he's like a new age Larry Bird.
Yep.
And I think those two.
He's got that in him, but go ahead.
He's a bad boy, though. We'll see. But you know what?
He's missing a bunch of late game free throws.
Your point about Giannis, and I love Giannis. I said it at the beginning of the year.
You've been
all over. I think he's the best player in the East. We're going to find out in the playoffs.
Yes.
Because I used to think, with all due respect to the great Tracy McGrady, he didn't, he put up huge numbers in the playoffs, but he just never could win. Mm-hmm. Right. And because of that, you couldn't be like a Kobe or something like that because you have to win in the playoffs. So we're going to, this is when you become the best player in the world.
But what I loved about this kid here is that you watch him, you watch what he's done to his body. He realized the way he was built was not conducive for doing what he needed to do. He looks like a freak now. Right. From where he came, like 190 to like 245, 250, he grown man. But the real big grown man, old Papa, that boy got old Papa straight out here in L.A., he's still basketball. You know what he do to him. Mm. You know what he do. But I like Giannis.
What game did I watch on that Friday night here at Staples?
LeBron cooked him. Giannis had 16 points.
Oh, remember he wasn't even supposed to play in the game. He had a knee issue. Do you remember that?
See, there you go.
Who won that game? I don't remember.
But I didn't know Brogdon was going to do all the stuff that he was doing. You saw what happened, 15-2 run.
Oh, Bledsoe.
That's a big loss for them, too.
That hurt.
Brogdon.
That could
determine the East.
But I agree with you. The pressure mounts on Giannis to back it up when it matters the most.
You see what he did, Chris? He went and tried to dig some notes out. Let me find this. He said he wanted a bear. He wanted it. He did bear.
He did say those things. Do you want me to run by the quotes there with you every day,
The only thing that's happened right now is LeBron is not universally regarded as the best player.
Oh, really?
But
no, right now?
Yeah.
I don't think he's got that title anymore.
No.
I think Mario Hezonja has that title now.
What? Oh.
But hey, it's open. He'll be a chance to fight for it next year.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
whoever these playoffs are going to determine for the time being.
I think you're right, though. With that, but the playoffs. So like Giannis, we will see a star or we won't. Either it's how he performs. I mean, those are the moments where everyone's watching.
He doesn't have to win it or even get to the finals. If he kills and they get to the third round, the conference finals, then he may be viewed as the best player in the world.
By the way, one other face of the league, foreign, was Steve Nash, who was Canadian, and he didn't feel like
Santa Clara.
Yeah, well, right? I mean, he went to Santa Clara. Right. But he's from Vancouver, so it's close to. It's just.
But he's ever the face of the league though?
Close. Well, he won two MVPs,
everybody thought they were false because they thought the first year Shaq should have won it.
The first or second?
The first year.
Yeah, I voted for Nash twice. I did vote for him twice. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he was ever the face of the league.
I bet at least he was maybe in the discussion.
Because that was Kobe.
Giannis could be the best player, but like a Tim Duncan.
Okay.
But maybe, look, I want him to be himself, though.
I liked what he said.
Nash was in the league. Was LeBron in the league then?
Yeah, but this was 04 and 05 when he won the MVPs.
What about Kobe?
I don't think that. I think Kobe and Shaq were probably the face of the league. In 04 and 05.
And then around 5, 6, another kid. Probably like 7.
7.
Yeah.
When he got swept.
Don't do that, kid. You know what? You ruined
he
all
of it. He got swept.
But Duncan, you know what? There was a transfer. Like Duncan said to LeBron after that series.
Well, he did after he was always.
This league's going to belong to you. Just like LeBron said to Giannis, I love everything about you.
Setting the stage.
There's a transfer.
Oh, the big genie.
Here is the latest, guys. Draymond Green, he's got something to say a lot of the times, and now apparently he doesn't care if Kevin Durant leaves Golden State. We'll discuss all of that next.
No mercy.
Draymond Green is at it again regarding Kevin Durant. If you remember, the two had a very public argument on the bench back in November. There's speculation that KD is going to leave Golden State, but according to Draymond, the situation between the two is not important. Draymond said about KD, quote, "He's part of it right now. Whatever happens this summer happens. Whatever the hell he do, he does. If he go, he go. If he stay, he stay. But while he's here, we're going to win another championship. It's just that simple. Nothing else matters." All right, we're joined once again by Chris Broussard. But first, Shannon, what do you read into those words?
I think Draymond is resigned to the fact that KD is bouncing after the season. But for me, I would not even drudge that back up. If he stays, he stays. If he goes, he goes. I would just leave that alone. I'm not worried about what KD does this summer. All I'm concerned about now is the next 2 months of the season. Because it seems like, you're like, well, what? I don't care. Right. If he goes, he goes. He stays, he stays. I'm talking about right now. What KD and I have tried to do is try to put that moment behind us. We're focused on right now. And that's all I care to talk about. I'm not talking about what KD may or may not do. That's for KD to decide. But in the meantime, our job is to try to get better, go into these playoffs with some momentum, and go ahead and win 4 titles in 5 years. So we'll go down as one of the all-time great franchises, teams in NBA history. I'm not concerned about what KD. It just seems, and KD, I don't know how KD's going to take it. KD does have some thin skin. He might be, oh, it doesn't matter if he goes, he stays. Oh, it doesn't matter to you, huh? Okay.
Look, Draymond is not the one to soft pedal anything. And he said this, like, look, if he go, he go. If he stays, stay. He's, yeah. If he stays, he go. Stays.
It sounded worse when I said it. Yeah.
If he go, he go. If he stay, he stay. Yeah. That's what he said.
I hear
but
you.
But I'm going to be honest, and I've been told that they've moved past it. I don't know what their relationship is like. Obviously, it's cordial and it's fine.
Right.
Are they as close as they used to be? Probably no, not, but I don't know. But I like it. I like what Draymond said, and I think this is their attitude. Like you said, Shannon, everybody in the league thinks KD is gone. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know for sure, but I think the people in Golden State feel like he's out of here. Now, if he stays, we'd love it.
Love it.
But if he goes, he goes. And this, what I like about it is this is now, this locker room can get galvanized behind the rallying cry of one last hurrah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Look, let's go out with a bang. This is the last time that arguably the most talented NBA team ever will be together. Let's go out with a bang and win it. I guess you can argue that could backfire if they don't have that camaraderie, but I think it's bad news for the rest of the league because I think they're saying we got 2 months left together, 3 months, whatever. We gonna win a championship, and that's all that matters.
And I think it's very good news for the rest of the West, including my San Antonio Spurs. I did not like the way he said any of this. And the first thing I want to hear from Kevin Durant that this is all behind them and in the past and that they're over it. For Draymond
well,
to say
remember,
it.
Skip,
well,
he said, remember what he said now? He said, don't ask him no more about Draymond.
Correct.
He said, don't ask him no more.
Because remember, Draymond initiated.
Yeah.
Draymond called him the B word. He didn't call Draymond the B word. So whatever fence need to get mended, it needed
Draymond
to go.
Needs
so
to
do you
it.
Think right. they can't move past that word? Because Draymond called LeBron that, as we know, in the finals, and they're cool.
Now he's a clutch guy.
Right. Yeah. They're cool. So I think
LeBron
they can
forgiving.
Move
LeBron got a
yeah,
forgiving
LeBron
heart.
LeBron is keep he friends is close and enemies closer, right? That's
no,
what he does. That's what
he
does every offseason. How could LeBron forgive him for that? I don't know. How can he become a clutch
player? He forgave
player?
Dan Gilbert.
If you forgive Dan Gilbert, right. you forgive anybody.
The man who accused you of quitting?
Yikes, yeah.
Really?
Call you selfless and self-anointed
right.
king.
Yep, self-anointed
so
king.
So he's a forgiving
wow.
heart.
Yeah, he forgives.
Self-anointed
I like that
king?
Christian heart.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Boy, LeBron and I are so different.
I don't
different
know about that. Yeah, I don't know about that. So think about these quotes. They were so dismissive of Kevin's future. Instead, you should preface it. Again, you're speaking to the media, so this is for everyone to hear, for the world to hear. You need to say, boy, I hope he stays. You need to preface it with something
yes.
like that. And it was, whatever the hell he do, he does. Whatever the hell. Whatever the hell. Well, like, screw him. Get him out of here. You know, whatever.
It's not right. that bad.
Well, okay, but
it
comes,
I get where you're coming
that,
from.
That's the tone of it was like that. Does Draymond just lay it on the line? Whatever it is, it's,
yep.
it's unvarnished. He just says, this is it. Okay, do we like that about it? Yes, we do. But if I'm Kevin Durant, I don't love the tone of that.
I don't think Golden State like the tone of it either.
From
Draymond.
But I think they probably know. I think they all know.
If I'm Draymond,
I'm
looking at man,
it,
hey, all I know
here.
Is Golden State's going
to
offer him the bag. And I would be willing.
Draymond.
They're going to offer KD the bag.
Yeah.
Okay.
And whatever KD does, I'm not mentioning he goes, he stays. I'm not mentioning any of that. That's going to be KD's decision to hash out in 3 months from now. Mm-hmm. But right now, we got a title to win. Man, you're talking about, so you trying to say.
I think this is good. I think this is the attitude they need to have. One last hurrah.
I hope, you know what, just please get San Antonio in that first round Golden State. Because I want this thing to be quick. Quick and painless.
Yeah.
Don't nobody hurt. Don't nobody bleed out of nothing.
It might be the other way around. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They might just fall completely
you
apart.
You actually
right
think
before.
They could lose to the Spurs?
No.
I need to see how it shapes up.
Yeah, I know how it's going to shape up.
I need to see. They're better than the Spurs, but the Spurs laid
you know,
it on them the other
I tell
night.
You what, you know what? Y'all would have a great chance. If y'all had a 28-year-old Duncan, I'd give y'all a real, real shot. But he ain't 28 anymore.
I'll take Ginobili at 28.
Here's the thing, too. Look, Golden State is not going to fall off the map when KD leaves. They still could win it next year. Okay. And that may be why he needs to leave. Because okay. he's arguably the best player in the world. And they may not even need you. But I mean, really.
As long as Klay stays.
Klay's going to get max. So, yeah. Klay, right. all of them. Look, for Draymond, if KD were to stay, Draymond becomes the guy, the odd man out financially.
Yeah. Yeah.
If KD leaves, Draymond probably has to get overpaid.
Okay.
Just because he's so important to that team.
Well, right now, he's not worth overpaying because his numbers have slipped across the board. He's having a hard time. He's now 7-7-7. The 7 assists are still good, but the points and rebounds are down.
Right.
And he is shooting a grand total of 27% from the three-point line. And now people just dare him to shoot. He made one the other night, and I was like, wow, he made one.
KD's first year in Golden State. If he's not there, do you believe Golden State beat?
I think we got a heck of a rivalry. I would, if I had to pick between that Cavs team and Golden State without KD, I would pick Golden State in probably a 7-game series because they would be feeling like we gave it away last year. We should have won last year. We didn't because Draymond was out. They would have came back with a vengeance. So I would have picked them in a close series.
Kyrie and Kevin Love?
Yes.
That team?
No, sir.
I give Cleveland.
I would agree. That's fine,
but I'm telling you, I would have picked Golden State. I think it would have been close.
Them shots that KD was making.
Well, haven't we talked about this? If you're on the playground and you're choosing
up. But that, basketball,
you've got LeBron and Kyrie.
But that's not basketball. Is about chemistry. The numbers all show that the Warriors are arguably better without KD.
Not in the playoffs, they're not.
They won the championship without him.
Yeah, they did. Well, minus Kyrie and minus Kevin Love.
But just like I don't hold it against LeBron in 2015 that Draymond got suspended, I don't hold it against the Warriors that Kyrie and KD and Love.
Somebody boarded that business Boeing jet and went to the Hamptons to recruit KD. If I don't need
is
you.
Is something wrong with that?
No, I'm not saying.
I mean, LeBron recruits everybody,
I'm not saying anything is wrong with it, Chris. Oh. I'm just saying they knew what was on the horizon. You know what?
We'll never know.
That's what I'm saying.
We'll never know. All I'm saying is, and Draymond and the Warriors know it. Next year, if KD's gone, they're going to come out with an extra fire to prove to everybody.
They will.
Steph, we talk about who's the face of the league. Steph had taken it periodically from LeBron.
Yeah.
As much as I love LeBron, Steph had taken it from LeBron for a year.
I agree.
Year and a half.
6 months.
And then when KD came, he wasn't it. But Steph could regain face of the league next year.
Yeah, he had it for 6 months.
All right,
Chris. After that first
time. He had it for six months.
But LeBron said, I don't want it right now. I need to go back into the lab and focus. Mm.
The lab. No, he's in a lab. Okay. Chris, thank you as always. Interesting today. So, guess what we have coming up? Super Bowl champ and Ravens legend.
Here we go.
Suggs. He joins us next. We'll be right back with him. No mercy. Our next guest played 16 years with the Baltimore Ravens. He's a 7-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champ. Now, he's headed to the desert after signing with the Cardinals last week. Darrell Suggs, welcome to Undisputed. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Ball so hard. You're back. I have missed you. Have you missed me?
Absolutely. I've missed you, Skip. Yeah. Believe it or not, I have.
I got to miss you.
That's so nice of you
to say. I've been seeing you talking crazy, though.
Crazy. Just a little bit. All right. Well, we are glad to have you. I'm going to start with the obvious question. How hard was it to leave Baltimore?
It was very difficult. It was probably hands down the most difficult decision I ever had to make in my life. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I just felt it was time to leave, you know what I'm saying?
You said it was time to leave. So when I look at you, I look at you as like this, the Ray Lewis, 17 years, Jonathan Ogden. I think Ed Reed made a mistake, and I think if he had to do it over again, he would have never left. I just saw you as always as a lifer in the black and purple. Why now?
Me too, because like you mentioned all those guys, you know, through and through, I'm an Ozzie Newsome guy.
Right.
And, you know, once I knew Ozzy was going to step down as GM, you know, I had to kind of question my future, you know, in the Ravens uniform. And, you know, after trying a few times, like, you know, last year trying to kind of extend my contract with the Ravens and everything just kind of kept falling through, I was just like, all right, it's probably, you know, Ozzy stepping down. I'm kind of the last pillar from the last regime. And it just, like I said, like what a lot of things that kind of happen, a lot of guys that end up leaving, I felt like I was the only thing preventing the team from kind of, you know, out with the old, in with the new, you know, kind of thing. So I kind of, I chose to leave so that they can kind of turn the page and let the new guys kind of build something for they, for themselves and, you know, have some of their own.
Do you feel that had Ozzy still been in place, that you would have remained a Raven? You felt that Ozzy had that big of an impact that you would have remained a Raven had he remained in his role?
It's a good chance that, you know, I would have probably stayed and finished out my career in Baltimore had Ozzy still been, you know, remained there. But, you know, it just seems like, you know, with him stepping down and the moves that they made, it was kind of like, I feel like it was a mutual parting of ways. You know, like I said, you know, they were kind of turning the page and, you know, I had to respect that. You know, I love that organization so much that I removed myself from it so that they can, you know, do what they had to do and be a great team again.
So, Mr. Suggs, you and I used to do battle about one Joe Flacco. I called him Fluco. Called him Joe Cool. He was quarterback.
The disrespect.
Yeah, but how do you feel now that
how
the
can you
Ravens,
say that about a Super Bowl?
Yeah, the Ravens
a Super Bowl winning MVP.
Because they traded him. They have committed their future to one Lamar Jackson. How do you feel about that?
Like I said, you know, it was kind of a turning of the page, so to say. You know, it was Lamar time. You know, Lamar, Joe did some great things for us last year, you know, and played a few games hurt. And, you know, Lamar came in and gave us that spark and kind of took the team and got us into the playoffs, you know what I'm saying? So it was just time, you know what I'm saying? I don't think it was a disrespectful thing. It was just, you know, the team went in a different direction, and it's Lamar's time there.
Can the Ravens win Super Bowls with Lamar Jackson at quarterback?
They can, hopefully. Not while I'm still playing, you know what I'm saying? I'm not on their team, but I believe they can, you know.
And now that you're not in that division, the new favorites are the Cleveland Browns. How do you feel about that?
I know. That's a whirlwind, man. You know, the Cleveland, you know, that city has been dealing with a lot, especially with the departure of their team to Baltimore, you know, back in 1996. Yep. And, you know, they've had some pain. So now, like, you know, they've made some moves to kind of put them in a position to do something special. So, you know, it's exciting. The whole league will be looking at Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm. So other than Arizona being your hometown, you went to college, you played college ball there, you played high school there. Why with the Cardinals? Do you believe that they can win? Probably going to select a quarterback, Kyler Murray, with the first pick in the draft. Do you guys believe you can win, compete in this division with the Rams, who went to the Super Bowl last year in this very division? And Seattle.
Absolutely, absolutely. I believe that. I didn't come here to not win. You know, I don't have any seasons to kind of waste. You know, I don't know how much longer I plan on doing this, but I know I plan on playing it next year. And I don't – I didn't come to the Arizona Cardinals to have the number one pick in the draft again in the 2020 draft and be in the lottery in the 2020. So I definitely think we can win. And we got all offseason to kind of build a team and become a team.
Have you had much time to watch Kyler Murray? I don't know if you got to see any of his games last year. Do you know what you're about to get into here with him? Because he is something.
I mean, we've been around this game for decades. You know, y'all been around this game longer than me. Y'all know crazy things can happen on draft day. So we don't know who we're going to get, you know what I'm saying? So, but if they do happen to draft Tyler Murray, I think it's going to be exciting, just like the same situation with Lamar, you know what I'm saying? But it all depends on how good he can, you know, handle the NFL scheme and become an NFL quarterback, how fast he can pick that up. Hmm.
Have you had time to sit down with your new, very young head coach?
Yeah, we've chatted when I signed. We talked a little bit, and, you know, everybody's just really excited. That's the kind of, you know, energy you need going into a season. You know, you have the the excitement of a new young head coach. You know, me and him was actually in the same draft. That was crazy. You know, someone told me that. And, like I said, with me being a 17-year vet, coming into kind of a young team, I think it's a good situation for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't mind, I'd like to revisit this. You're very close with Ray. Did you run this by when you made this decision? Not that you have to, but did you? And if the Ravens had come to you and said, Suggs, just give us an opportunity to match whatever Arizona's putting on the table. Because it seems to me that you were resigned, that you were leaving regardless whether they ask you to come back or not.
That's not true. That's not true. I actually decided before, you know, like I hadn't slept in weeks. And, you know, it was like I was pretty much going to go back to Baltimore because that was the safe thing to do. But, you know, at the end of the day, I wasn't at peace with my decision. And I was going to ask Ray, but then I'd have been taking counsel from someone other than myself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I kind of wanted to do what was the best fit for me. And it just seemed like after thinking everything through, it was like the best decision. And Ozzie even called me, you know, and he was on the phone. We couldn't get off the phone for hours. And I'll never forget it. Ozzie said, Sizzle, I don't want to hang up the phone because I don't want to lose you. You know what I'm saying? He said, I feel if I get off the phone, then I'm going to lose you. I was like, Ozzie, you can never lose me. I'll always be a Raven, you know, but I felt it's time to turn the page and That's what I did. That was the biggest decision and me leaving.
So that non-extension really rubbed you the wrong way because you felt if they'd have wanted you in 2019, they would have extended you in 2018.
It didn't rub me the right way. You know what I'm saying? Like when you're young, you're naive and you react to things prematurely. It was just like, nah, you know, I kind of respected the business side of it. I think, you know, now that you can see how everything kind of panned out, they were thinking more offensively, and there was a big offensive free agent on the block that everybody was trying to get, and I really think they really wanted that guy, you know, and I respect that, you know what I'm saying? He's gonna be a big, you know, piece for the Jets, and I just think, you know, we got the extension done, like I said, I would still be there, but it was just kind of let me know it's probably time to turn the page. Hmm.
Going back to your old division, the North, you surprised that Antonio Brown and Le'Veon are no longer Pittsburgh Steelers?
Nah. As we clearly see during this interview, all good things must come to an end. You know, time will get us all eventually, so I'm not surprised.
So where do you see the Steelers finishing in that division next year?
I could really care less.
Really?
I could care less when I could care less when I was in that division, you know. But who cares? I'll be cheering for the black and purple though.
So let me ask you, when Ray left, he turned it over to you. Who do you turn the defense over to? Who do you turn the locker room leadership? CJ Mosley's gone. So the last really the homegrown definite defensive stars is no longer in that locker room. So who's in charge?
Brandon Williams, we left the defense in good hands. You know, Brandon Williams, you know, was a Pro Bowl defensive tackle last year. He's always played at a very high level. The juggernaut, Michael Pierce, you know, he's one of the toughest interior guys in the league. Jimmy Smith, like you said, he's still there. He was part of our Super Bowl team. Tony Jefferson, he's a veteran guy. But, you know, one of my personal favorites is Matt Judon. That, you know, I think – you know, he's really going to shock some people, you know, in next season, and I think he's going to have a good season. So the defense is in good hands.
So you had some great battles over the years with one Tom Brady up in Foxborough. How shocked are you that he's still going at age next year 42 at a high level?
Well, the way the game's played now, the way the rules change, you know, I'll probably be able to sneak it out until I'm 40. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same game from when – you know, I'm saying, but when I came in and when Shannon played, you know what I'm saying? It's almost two-hand touch now, but hey, we'll play nice. We'll play long. So it's not shocking at all. The rules ain't the same. You know what I mean? The game isn't the same. They have more protection than anybody, you know, quarterbacks in this league. So it's not very shocking at all.
So have you gained respect for Brady at all?
What you got? five rings, six rings?
Six.
You got as many as Mike? Six?
Mm-hmm. That's, as many as Mike.
What can I say to that?
And three more than LeBron.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, Skip.
Yeah. You see Ed try to sneak that hate in on LeBron,
son? Blasphemy against the king is treason.
Yeah, exactly.
Blasphemy against the king is treason. Stop that, Skip. Stop that.
Yeah.
So we're gonna keep it. We're gonna keep it fun. Don't be blaspheming against the king. But yeah, he got six rings. Good for him. Yeah. Mm.
So you are the CEO of your own film production company. And by the way, speaking of LeBron, you were doing LeBron off the field, off the court, long before LeBron was going Hollywood. So how is that going? And what do you have coming up for us film-wise?
Well, you know, I got some stuff in the can. I mean, you know, just in pre-production, you know what I'm saying? I still, my heart belongs in football, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of do, you know, film as just as fun. You know, I shot a TV pilot, you know, that's called Shade. So hopefully I could be able to show that to the world once I finish it. And, you know, I got a couple of feature films, feature scripts, you know what I'm saying, that I'm going to try to shoot, get shot. But, you know, all that's going to be fun for the summer, you know, right now. Right now I'm just kind of focusing on working out and being the best player I can be in 2019 for the Arizona Cardinals.
Hey, Suggs, don't forget your boy do a little acting on the side. So if you ever need somebody to do a little
role. I know
role,
that.
Your boy,
I know that. Absolutely.
Since when? All right.
But I'm Jenny, cheap, stop. Though.
Huh?
I don't pay people. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to have to, me and you, you know what I mean? You're going to have to give me some kind of deal. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to hook you up on the back end or something.
Okay, yeah. We can do that. But
I'm real cheap, bro.
But Suggs, let me tell you how this thing works. My talent isn't based on your budget. You know, I'm good at this thing now. But you, I do you this solid.
I know you are. I know you
okay.
are. Okay. All right, we all tune in to watch you, not Skip.
You want to get not
true. Appreciate that, song. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about,
son. Deal true.
Boy.
He tunes in just to watch me. I know, and he knows.
Just throw that in there at the very end. Terrell,
absolutely
thank
not.
You. Appreciate your time today. We're wishing you the best of luck in Arizona. Thank you for joining us. No mercy. Odell Beckham Jr. left the Big Apple for Cleveland last week, and now he apparently wants to lay low. Beckham posted, then deleted yesterday, that he is taking a break from social media and even his cell phone. Odell wrote that he's, quote, taking an emotional, mental, physical, blah, blah, blah vacation. At this moment, for the next couple of days, I'm going dark. Shannon, what does this tell you?
Tell me anything. Odell is Odell. Playing to the very people that he says he doesn't want to be bothered with, unless it's something, he also said, unless it's something pressing, mm-hmm. don't text him or don't call him. Skip, he's going to a new situation, a new team, new expectations. Odell was actually surprised that the Giants traded him. Odell never in his wildest imagination, Skip Bayless, mm-hmm. believed that the Giants would trade him. In other words, they got tired of your bull jive, Odell.
They did.
I don't care, look. I've been on this earth almost 51 years, Skip, and been in a few relationships, good, bad, some indifferent. It doesn't matter. There will come a time that someone will get tired of your BS. And the Giants said, Odell, as talented as you are, we're tired of your BS. And him going zero, now I get, for me, I've always felt this way, Skip. Sometimes I think these guys are doing documentaries because they document everything. Oh, I'm taking a shower. Oh, I'm brushing my teeth. Oh, I'm eating breakfast. Oh, I'm in my car. Ooh, I'm driving to work. Ooh, I'm like, dude.
Some do, yeah.
So now he's going zero dark 30. From what? That's what you always do. Skip, when the trade went through, where was he? In Paris. Skip, where is he at right now? In Paris with Neymar or some soccer, some footballer.
Wee-wee.
Yeah. He loves it over there.
Here's the thing. Even though he said, how do you go zero dark 30 and then you announce it? Normally, people just fade away, Skip. You know what? Hey, I need to tell anybody I'm going
to worry.
I don't need to tell anybody I'm going on vacation. Dip. I'm out. See you when I get back.
Just one other point of order there. Mm-hmm. Do you realize... Okay, only probably a very few people are capable of texting, calling, or FaceTiming because you would need his number, right?
Right.
So does the world have his phone number?
Yes.
No, they don't.
Right,
I mean,
no, of course not.
Just a few of his
closest friends,
right?
Right.
And he probably changes his number
right.
regularly if I know him. So
So he is announcing to his close personal friends, don't text, call, or FaceTime unless it's of the utmost importance. But he's announcing that to the world.
I know.
Like he's telling his close friends to the world.
Right. Like he when you could have texted them or called them or FaceTimed them.
Mate, do it privately.
Right.
Because they deserve that. If you're one of the close personal friends, you're saying, oh, you informed me via this?
But this is
and
not
he a- called it a PSA, public service. Like, the Everyone. World needs to know I'm going to be dark.
This was not,
what?
This was not about his closest friends
yep.
and family. This was about the very people on the medium in which he posted it. This was for them. This has always been about them.
Okay, so I saw another quote yesterday from a close personal friend of his named Saquon Barkley.
Uh-huh.
Good kid, tough, yes. strong young man.
Yes.
And Saquon was talking about the moment that he was FaceTiming with Odell soon after he had heard he had been traded. Because right. he called to say, what happened? How right. are you? And the quote was that Saquon says, I don't think he was that happy about it. Well, that's the first negativity I've heard about the move to Cleveland, because it was reported that Cleveland was a preferred destination if, in fact, he were going to be shipped out right. of New York, right?
Well, Victor Cruz also said on one of the other shows, Skip, that when he talked to Odell, Odell was upset that he didn't have more of a choice in where he was going. And Victor said, Odell, it doesn't work like that.
It does not work that way.
So that's what, see, Skip, not only did they trade him, see, he wanted to control, well, I want to go to L.A., well, I want to go here. They're like, nah, we're going to ship you where we want you to go.
Okay, so now I'm starting to wonder, because this post, this IG post is about, I need to get away to process, to reevaluate some of the things in my life. Well, it leads me to believe he's a little upside down over the trade.
Yes,
like,
of
wait
course.
A second. They just dumped me.
Yeah.
They shipped me to Cleveland?
To Cleveland. And of all, Cleveland might be up and coming.
Right.
But they're still known as the Browns, Skip.
Okay. Obviously, LeBron helped put Cleveland back on the
map,
sports
did,
map,
yeah.
but LeBron's from there.
Yeah, he's from
okay?
Akron.
Right, okay, so it sort of disqualifies LeBron. It's not like he chose to go to this outpost in Cleveland.
Correct.
He wanted to because right. he's it's in his
right.
heart and soul.
Yes.
Okay, got it. But for Odell, he's like, well, LeBron ain't there anymore, and I know his great friend Jarvis is there, and he loves Baker and the receivers coach, blah, 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 but is it enough? I'm starting to wonder, are you all in, Baker, or are you half out here?
Here's the thing with Odell, Skip. Jarvis is one of his best friends, but Jarvis doesn't have the reach of Neymar.
No.
He doesn't have the reach of a Drake
no,
or LeBron James. He views himself in yep. that light.
I
that's not what Jarvis is, Skip. See, and he can say all what he wants to say right now, new chapter. I saw where he posted, Skip, that he had the Rocky scene where Apollo Creed and Rocky's running on the beach and they talk about, let's see who gets to work first. All that's fine and good. The test for Odell Beckham and the Cleveland yep. Browns and Baker Mayfield
yep.
will come when the regular season starts, Skip. What happens when he gets two passes? Mm-hmm. What happens when he gets three targets? That's going to be the test for Odell Beckham and the Cleveland Browns. Then we'll see. Oh, that's fine and good. Oh, I just can't wait. I'm so excited. It doesn't seem like he's very excited, but I'm just saying we hear that all the time. It's a new chapter, a new beginning. What you got to process? What you got to process? It's over. Ain't no processing. You ain't getting a driver's license talking about we need to process this or a late payment or something, Skip. This has already been processed. The league office processed this the day it went through. It's a done deal, bro.
Yeah, you can't fix it. You can't undo it, right?
This is not a bad dream.
No.
This is reality, bro. They shipped you to Cleveland. Let that sink in. A 25-year-old mega superstar in the NFL. A team said, we're done. We're finito. Finished. Kaput. No more.
You want to know the truth? Mm. This post is exactly why the Giants said, we're out. Like, we've seen enough.
Yes.
And again, they shouldn't have given him all that money in the first place. But after 1 year of him having his money,
yes.
they said, you know what? More trouble than worth. Good riddance. Yes. We're out. Sorry.
Let that sink in, Skip.
Yeah.
They said, you know what? We'd rather have a 30, almost 38-year-old quarterback, knowing that he's a shell of himself.
Yep.
Than a 25-year-old, because you know what? that 38-year-old, he might not be what he once was, but he's not going to cause disruptions. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be one thing to the next. Because I'm sure the head coach, I'm sure the owner, John Mara and the Tishes, I'm sure they got tired of answering questions about Odell that wasn't football play related. Well, did you hear what Odell said? Did you hear about Odell over here? Did you hear Odell over there? What they got to do with him?
One of those came off an incident in Paris.
They didn't hear nothing. John, how good was that performance that Odell, that 200-yard day Odell? They was asking him nothing football game related.
No.
It was already peripheral stuff that had to do with Odell's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. We out.
That would get old.
So I believe that Odell has become the most self-absorbed and self-conscious athlete I've ever observed from a distance. Mm-hmm. He's obvious. He has superstar capability, but he hasn't played to that level consistently as it relates to winning football games. Mm-hmm. And the problem in New York was he became so self-conscious of, I'm Odell Beckham Jr., mm-hmm. that he knows every second, standing on the sideline, in the huddle, the cameras are just trained on him.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a while, he thinks, I got to do an Odell thing. I got to do this or that. And you start to act up, act out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to win that way because, as you know, football is the ultimate team unity game.
Correct.
You have to be together. You can have stars, but everybody has to blend and unite.
Gotta.
I'm not sure Odell is capable of blending and uniting. I thought this was a great opportunity on a young, interesting, upcoming, on the verge team to show you can be a leader, which he always says, I could be the leader. Can you lead yourself?
But Skip, and the thing is, in a team sport, I don't care if Brady could have 700 touchdowns, but if they're not winning, he's not going to be what he is.
Mm-mm.
Odell is a very unique individual because he saw he could have individual success without team success, and he didn't need it. So
is true.
Why do
he
I need?
He didn't need
yes.
Because he's playing in New York.
He's playing in New York, making one-hand grabs, putting on the show pregame. So, Skip, why do I need to win? Why do I need you when I can get everything I need without you?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to the bank for a loan if I got the money, if I can go ahead and just buy it out of my pocket. Yeah. What do I need a loan? So, and I'm like, well, y'all a loan to me. But I don't need a loan. I'm good. I got the credit. I got the cachet by myself.
Mm. So is it possible he's somewhere sitting on some beach just meditating about, can I sacrifice me for us? Can he do that? Because next year he has a chance, next couple of years.
Uh-huh.
He's got a hot young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a really good situation with an offense full of weapons that will take some heat off him as far as constant double, triple team focus on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might get some single coverage occasionally, right?
Yeah.
Okay? So you have a chance to show you can be a real live star football player who impacts the scoreboard as far as W's and L's go, right?
Skip, these guys.
Is he capable?
I don't know. Because he's had such success, as you mentioned, the IG followers, he's 13 million.
Yeah.
He's gotten a big contract, and he hasn't won a whole lot. So what's the thing is, what's the benefit for him? If he gets everything that he wants without having to have team success, what's the benefit of having team success?
Not much.
Exactly.
That's a good point. And this is the first time I've ever heard this in this context
about
any star athlete. He doesn't need to win.
Right.
Really.
We said, think about it. We said LeBron is great. But he needs to win a title.
Sure.
We said even Peyton Manning, as great as he was, he needed to win something.
Got a breakthrough. Yep.
Think about that.
How many high seeds did Peyton not capitalize on in Indy? Yeah.
And we held that against him for the longest time until he finally broke through.
He broke through.
Odell has had so much success for only helping get a team to the playoff once, and then in that game he didn't play well.
Yep.
But he's had a lot of individual success, and praise has been heaped upon him. So he really doesn't need the team success because ultimately, Skip, when it comes down to it, when it's all said and done, only the quarterbacks are judged by titles.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only guy
that
it really matters
to. You're right.
Nobody say, that kicker, he can't be a great defensive lineman because he ain't winning. That's not how it works. But Odell, I've never seen anything like Odell. I've never seen, in all my years of playing the game and covering the game, I've never seen anybody enjoy the individual success without having the team success that comes along with it.
We always bring up that catch that changed him. I mean, he is a success regardless, and change is hard. He has to want to be a different player, different person. Maybe this is the first step. We see less of him, but he's a better teammate. It's just a lot.
Skip, I'll tell you the story. Ask Deion Sanders, very good friend of mine. As great as he was in Atlanta, he's like, I got to win something. He said, y'all trying to make me out to be a loser. He understood.
Listen, I used to watch those Falcon games. He was the greatest sideshow on earth.
Yes.
Because he's going to return an interception or a punt for a touchdown.
Yes.
He's always like, he's going to
high step all the way into the end zone.
Right.
But he understood in order for him to be the ultimate success story, he needed to win.
Yeah. He needed to be a Cowboy.
Then stop that.
Y'all
bought a Super Bowl.
Oh, we bought a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you did.
You say
we just bought one with Randall Cobb.
Oh, really? Really? Okay.
I mean, let's just keep him happy, Shannon. He's excited about the new
day.
Guy.
Okay.
Give him this. Give him this.
That was a good sign. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.